For our scripture reading this morning, I invite you first to turn with me to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 17. We'll read the first seven verses of Exodus 17, which gives us the occasion for the words that Jesus will speak in response to the second temptation he faces by the devil. So first we'll be looking at Exodus 17, and then we'll also be looking and focusing on Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, Matthew 4, 5 through 7. But background, we have this occasion where Israel has been brought out of bondage, but hasn't been brought to faith, to obedience, to trusting God. Thus these words, all the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Thus our reading from God's word in Exodus, and now turning in his word to Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus is undergoing these temptations by the devil in the wilderness. He's been tempted to make stones into bread and has replied, we must live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then at verse 5, these words. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Thus far our reading from God's word. May he bless it. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. We can do that even in baptism when we pledge before the Lord, whether we're an adult getting baptized or offering covenant children and to the Lord that belong to him, saying, "Yes, Lord, I'll raise this child in the Lord," and then not. But bless me, Lord, bless me. But I won't obey you. Bless me, Lord, bless me. But is the Lord among us or not? Baptism is one of the most beautiful things we probably underestimate all the time. That God reaches down at his initiative, makes promises to us at his initiative, gives us a visual portrayal of cleansing, of washing, of rebirth at his initiative. Takes us back, the apostle hearkens us back to the Dead Sea, the Red Sea, and the splitting open of the Red Sea, and Christian baptism is something like unto a passageway from death unto the shoreline of life, new beginning. Baptism, dead in Adam, washed in Christ, new birth. New beginning onto the shore of a new beginning in Christ. Beautiful portrait. Blessing, as it also calls us to obedience. Blessing at God's initiative, and now walk with me in faith. Blessing by God's grace, now walk in that grace by walking according to my commands. You understand, I hope, that what the devil wants with Jesus here as he takes him to the temple is what he wants all along, to divert him from his path, from his mission as the Christ. To show him that as Son of God, baptized in our stead, there going forth to fulfill all righteousness. Well, not all righteousness, Jesus. Know the blessing of God as Son of God, but on some different terms. But not that way. And so in this temptation, he would have Jesus test God. Blessing, Messiah, Savior, just not the way God has called you to do it. How about we get to the temple? And so we're going to look at that this morning, Jesus' temptation at the temple, the second temptation, this temptation to test God, the temptation to want blessing from God, but on my terms. Or, Lord bless us, but are you among us or not? So we want to look at this temptation and how Jesus stands against it, rebukes it, which is what we need to do. Now, it's quite curious here that having failed in the first temptation where Jesus is in solitude, in isolation, in physical vulnerability, he's famished, he's weakened. What do you want most? I want to eat. My body is craving. All reminding us of a 40-year wandering of Israel in the wilderness. He's been 40 days here. Having failed at that, no. You don't live by bread, man. You have something to put in your mouth. You have a vacation to take. That's not life. You're not living because you're living it up. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Oh, plan two, scheme number two. Let's get away from this place. Look where he brings him. Doesn't seem to make sense. Out of isolation, into community, from isolated place of wilderness to holy land, holy turf, holy city, holy temple, holy sacrifice, a holy crowd. Holy angels might come to the rescue. You can show yourself the holy man. This seems like a safer environment. As if all the sinning that goes on is always just out there. No sinning ever happens in church. No sinning ever happens in worship. Well, really, we can just sit here and sin, right? Sit here and think thoughts about people, think thoughts about the week past. Think a lot of sinning goes on in church. A lot of grace, a lot of praying, a lot of pleading for the Christ. But what happens? He brings him to holy city, holy turf, the temple, the place where God dwells. This is, as Son of God, your turf. This is where you're comfortable. This is where you can feel safe. And you know, I witnessed that baptism of yours, Jesus. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. You're the one God delights in. And now we're where your Father's house is. We haven't forgotten, even as a child, as a 12-year-old, where did they find you? Where did Jesus go? He's at the temple. What is he? I must be about my Father's business. The temple, who later in his ministry, the place where he would drive out the money changers and the like in his zeal for the Lord. My Father's house is to be a house of prayer. You've made it into a den of robbers. This seems like an odd place to bring Jesus to be tempted, and yet he brings him to the pinnacle of the temple, and the devil comes armed with Bible verse. You shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Fine and dandy. I got one for you. Okay. Here we are. He will command his angels concerning you. Takes him to the pen. You're the Son of God. Throw yourself down. Bible verse. He will command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Think of it, Jesus. You cast, there you are. Crowd gathers. You cast yourself forth. Angelic beings capture you. Surely that's testimony of who you are, Son of God, Messiah. He's the one. The angels come to his aid. Here is the one. You're the holy man in the holy place with the holy temple where there's holy sacrifice. You can be wholly recognized as man of God. Can't you see? And now, what are you about anyway? You're about rescuing your people and they're under the bondage of Rome. How do you think you're ever going to get that done? Unless you have a crowd, you have people behind you who follow, recognize you, accept you, acknowledge you. Here's the way. And it says right there in the Bible. Got my verse. Right, he commands his angels, on their hands they will bear you up, lest you fight your strike your. Or don't you believe God? Is God among you, with you, or not? Don't you believe or not? It's curious, isn't it? Now the devil goes to work. It's an old story, but the work done is don't walk that Via Dolorosa. Don't take the path of suffering. Don't think that the way of obedience to God's will in all your humiliation is the way to victory and glory. That's a dead end. Here is a different way, different terms. And when those angels catch you, all the people will know the Lord is among us, and how. It was an old one that, it's an old temptation to test God. That was Israel's big problem too, right? They find themselves there in the wilderness and they move from one camp to another and they reach a place where Moses, I think you forgot something, we're thirsty, we need water. This is a wasteland, you know, hello. And they start to quarrel and grumble. Because they're thirsty and uncomfortable and miserable. And their little children are miserable. Mommy, we need something to drink. Did you bring us out here to die? We'd be better in Egypt. And that's what they told him. What's wrong with you? Is the Lord among us or not? That was the end of that reading there, remember? What rank unbelief. I mean, don't forget, these are the people who witnessed the deliverance from bondage. These are the people who saw the plagues. These are the people that saw an ocean split in half. And then when times get tough, is God really on our side? Does he care about us? Does he see my life and what I'm going through? Does he know what's going on? And Moses said, don't you see how you're testing God? He comes through and he blesses and he helps and he's there for you. And the first rough patch, after what you've seen, you don't think God knows you're thirsty and can provide. No, let's go back to Egypt. Let's kill Moses. Done with him. And let's just go back. Is God with us or not? Wow. And now you're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, and as we saw before, you know, it's not if, and oh, I don't think you are, and you don't think you are, and let's doubt you are. It's not that kind of if clause. It's the if clause of if this is so, and of course it is so. It's that sort of if clause, given that that is true. Do the following. Cast yourself down. You're the Son, the beloved Son. The angels catch you. Jesus likens that to asking whether God is really with me. He likens it to, let's put God to the test. You know, they tested Jesus this way when he was being crucified too, hanging on a cross. Well, if you're really the one, come down. If you're really the one, then those vicious nails shouldn't penetrate and rip flesh and crack bone. Right? Isn't that how the world always calculates? Well, if God was a real God, then you would all be rich and everything would go swell for you and everything would be terrible for everyone who doesn't believe God. Doesn't the devil put this sort of temptation on our heart all the time? That as a child of God, as one baptized of God, pledged to God, wearing the Christian jersey even as a little infant. You know, Packer fans know how to make Packer fans out of Packer fans. Dad wears a jersey. The family's wearing the jersey. They get their little infant. He's wearing the jersey. What are you? Well, they've named him Packer fan. And they raise him Packer fan. To believe, well, let's take a lesson from the world. Jesus, in baptism, puts his jersey on us. He doesn't wait, well, someday if you're good enough. You're in Adam, you're dirty, you need washing, you need rebirth, you need new life. And I take the initiative to embrace you. And he washes us outwardly with water to point us to the inward washing through the blood of Jesus. Lays claim and now says, live, just like a Packer fan would say, now live as a Packer fan, root for the Packers, you know, all the more. That's just us trying to do something, but God takes the initiative in our baptism and calls us something, names us something, and calls us to live out that name. But is God among us or not? Does God love me or not? Is God good or not? Is God there and able or not? Well, let's put him to the test. If God, you really love me, then this has to happen. If God, you really love me, then that has to follow. If God, you really are on my side, then life has to tumble this way. We do this all the time. And the devil puts that in our hearts. You know, the angels will keep us from flat tires and car wrecks, you know. If God was really on my side. No, Jesus rebukes that. He said, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, that's a quotation from Deuteronomy 6:16. Last time he quoted from Deuteronomy 8, this time chapter 6. Because the whole book of Deuteronomy is a warning book saying, you're going to get in land and you're going to be living well for a change. No more manna for you. You're going to have vineyards you didn't plant, and olive groves you didn't treat and take care of, and wells you didn't dig out, and you're going to be living well, and life is going to be swell, and you're going to start forgetting the Lord your God who delivered you from the house of bondage. And you're going to test God when life has its rough patches. And then you have to jump when I bark. And you're supposed to say how high. And God jumps this high according to your command. And send the angels my way when it's needed. And bring a miracle when I want it. That's testing God. That's not loving God. Testing God, not obeying God. You know, the devil's good at quoting the Bible badly. Because he doesn't exactly quote the script. He leaves a phrase out. You know, it's helpful sometimes to leave phrases out. And demonic. Because what it says is he will command his angels concerning you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up lest you strike your foot. In all your ways. That includes obedient ways. That includes ways of suffering. That includes ways in which I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I trust the Lord to bring me there. That includes the ways in which God is wise, and if he sends difficulties in my life, he's teaching me something and he's getting my attention because he loves me. In all ways. That means that he will command his angels concerning you. And what happens after the third temptation? The angels come and take care of him because he walked the way of obedience. Wasn't a quick magic wand, abracadabra. Pray a prayer, it's answered. Wham, bam, there it's done. Wasn't it's life ought to be easy? When Christ himself said, you want to follow me? Cross time. And when someone took up their cross in the ancient world, they were going to their death. Man, that guy's carrying a cross. Yeah, I guess he's working out. No. He was going to be crucified. Take up your cross and die to your sins. Die to your old life. Die to your old habits. Die to that disposition. Die to that guilt the devil won't let you get rid of. Die to these things and come to life in Jesus. Live your baptism wanted, washed, reborn by the Spirit. Fulfill the righteousness that Christ grants us. Wonderful. And yet the devil would call us, is God among us or not? I'm baptized, but is God with me or not? I have some difficult, I'm not gifted the way I want. I don't make the money I want. You know, marriage is hard work. Is God with me or not? Yeah, God wants you to change a lot. He loves you more than you can know. And he's going to keep showing you your sins, and he's going to keep showing you how much you need him. He might let you get thirsty. So you'll learn to look to the one who splits oceans and opens graves to be your life and hope. The devil is ever calling us to test God. There's obviously all kinds of versions in which we ask God to bless us, but not if it means the hallowing of your name instead of mine. Bless me, Lord, bless me, but if I have to go that path, if I have to make that sacrifice, no, bless me anyway. Bless me, Lord, provided it's my kingdom come and my will that's done. Bless me, Lord, bless me, but on my terms. That's testing God. Bless my life while I disobey you. Bless my life while I don't trust you. Bless my children while I don't teach them your ways and discipline them in a godly manner. Bless me, Lord. Let it all turn out happy and good, and give me an easy life while I seek first the things of the world, and your kingdom can come in second place. Didn't Jesus say it just the reverse? Seek first his kingdom and its righteousness, and then the other stuff you need, that he'll give you that. Bless me, Lord, bless me while I doubt you and test you. And give me that crown now. Forget the cross. Jesus went the way not of a temple leap. Ooh, wow, angelic, holy land, holy place, holy turf, holy temple, holy sacrifice, holy reconciliation, the holy of holies and the holy temple. This is the holy angels catching the holy man. Wow. Now lead us to war against Rome. Is that salvation? No. Jesus will gather a crowd. In the holy land, in the holy place, the holy temple, among the holy priests and all the rest, and they'll yell, crucify. Crucify. And that's the way of salvation. The Via Dolorosa, the suffering way, the humiliation way. You're a loser. Looky, hanging naked on a cross, ashamed, pitiful for us. Baptized for us because we need washing and rebirth. Fulfills all righteousness for us because we need him, and he is our righteousness. Tested to doubt God, like us, like Israel, and yet shows us, don't test God, believe him. Is God with us or not? Oh yes, Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, he's with us. How he's with us. Wow, is he with us in Jesus Christ. Believe that. Walk with that. Don't doubt God. Trust God. Amen. Lord, may we see that blessing is something we may ask for. Bless me, Lord, bless me. Through the hallowing of your name, the coming of your kingdom, the doing of your will, our provision of bread that we need, our fighting against all temptation through your deliverance and help, all for the glory and power of your kingdom come. Indeed, Lord, bless your people even now for Jesus' sake in him. Amen.